صوت الانتظار. راح أحكي وياكم بالعربي and then I'll throw in an English word so you can understand what I'm saying. You know, we've got some preparation for our rehearsals and I just translated the play, well, just the title of it, but it's a work in progress, into Arabic, The Sound of Waiting.
So how did you come to be working together?
The script landed in my inbox and I saw Marianne Butler on the title page, and that's all I needed to read the play. No, of course, I mean, Marianne's a poet and a polished gem of the top end, really, and it was... I read the first 10 pages and wrote back to Gail Evans, our director. I said, I'm in.
Osama's also, he's incredibly talented. He's a film writer and actor, and he writes books as well. He's just had his second film, Greenlit, I think, and his first film, Ali's Wedding, which he co-wrote and stars in, is based on his book, Good Muslim Boy, in part. And that the film won the Audience Award at the Sydney Film Festival, which is massive. And his book won the New South Wales Premier's Literary Award and was highly commended in the Victorian Premier's Literary Award. And so, yeah, he's. I have this fear that we'll never see him again because his star is so much on the rise. He's just going to be in demand everywhere. But he's been incredible to work with, absolutely beautiful actor, and his cultural input towards the script has been pivotal.
Did you feel weird getting a script about with an asylum seeker in the central part of the story written by a white lady?
It is a little weird in a sense that sometimes, I mean, you're always going, well, I hope this one's going to be a good one. I hope this writer's going to get it. This writer's not going to put, you know, paint us as terrorists or kill us in the third act. Because, I mean, it is a sensitive issue. I mean, it's like if I was to write about an Indigenous story. But it's so well researched. It's so well written that you'd feel that the story of Hamid, the character that I'm playing, was written by someone who is deep in that culture, and the intricate qualities of character, the hues and colours and shades are so well fleshed out that, as I said, I fell in love with it immediately. And I've been very fortunate to work with Gail and Marianne, who are both very open on the floor in the rehearsal room about being receptive to ideas and those cultural inputs that Marianne talked about, although there weren't that many, to be fair to Marianne's research.
So tell us the story of Hamid.
Well, Hamid is... I don't want to do too many spoilers, so it's kind of hard. He seeks to get his daughter and himself to a place of safety and hope. And he goes through an incredible lot to get there, physically, emotionally, mentally. He's incredibly resilient, and so he just keeps... that's his goal, and it's all about his daughter, getting his daughter to safety. And along the way, he is, I guess, thwarted by the Angel of Death, whose job it is to make sure he doesn't get to safety and hope. And it's an allegory in terms of how our system's set up, how our political system, stops the boats and has turned back boats and has, you know, so he is a boat asylum seeker. And really, it's about it's about the question of is hope enough, is love enough, is resilience enough against this formidable, unempathic, cold, hard bureaucracy that people face. And I think it's really about there's a line in it which is directly from a taxi driver who I met in Brisbane, and I got in the taxi at the airport. He drove me a long way. We talked, and he told me his entire story of coming to Australia as an asylum seeker. And he said, as we got out and he got my luggage out for me, he said, this country is big enough if the heart is. And then he said, but perhaps the heart is not. And that's the essence of the play, that hit me really hard in the chest. And there's another line in it where Hamid says, he refers to small acts of kindness that can fuel a whole world. And I think for us as audience, that's our responsibility to look at inequity across, every area of life and do what we can to alleviate that inequity, alleviate pain, alleviate suffering. And so it's very much sort of based on this. It doesn't have any answers, but it does look at what is a system through an allegory, and a very human man who is incredibly strong, yet has to constantly find the energy and the courage and the persistence and the resilience to just keep trying against everything that's thrown at him. I don't think it is didactic. I don't think it makes a statement. I think it throws a lot of questions out. So I have to say, watching Kyle, known as Kylie, watching him as the Angel of Death, he is, he's hilarious. It's the blackest humour I've ever seen in my life. And I love black humour, you know. So I'm watching him and we saw a run, a few people were invited in to sort of test it and they were just laughing. So there's a lot of kind of this very bleak humour, which is, kind of that positioning. And some of Hamid's observations of, you know, the world that he's going towards are also equally funny. And so I don't think it's about people agreeing or disagreeing. I think it's actually about people entering a world, a very real world of an asylum seeker, and a very surreal world of an Angel of Death, and kind of being almost churned around in that mix, and then kind of coming out and forming their own opinions and their own perspectives.
I wouldn't have minded a few jokes myself, to tell you the truth, Marianne.
You've got one.
Yeah. That's why I said few, because there is only one. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm playing a mathematician, so any jokes around numbers, anything, crunching numbers, I don't know.
There's a joke I saw in primary school with a calculator. I don't know if you could do that.
Oh, yes, the boobs one. What is it, 8008 or something?
I just realised that someone gave me a code to a building with that number. I think maybe they were having a go.
Yeah, no, it's there is some nice comic relief, or you know, that dark humour that you talked about, which is really important as well, because even in the most tragic times, what happens when we, like, if you read your diary from 20 years ago, you laugh at the times where you go, "Dear diary, I'm never coming out of my room ever again," and you go, "Oh," you know, you just have a laugh, but it's good that it's got all those shades. And
it's 55 minutes long. It's like a film. You're in, bang, 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 you're out. It's very fast moving. It is very brutally funny in parts, and it's gut-wrenching in other parts. So I think people will see it as very filmic in terms of a play. And the set is amazing. It's really beautiful.
All I can see is tape marks on the floor here in the rehearsal room.
No, you've
right.
just given away our entire set.
We had bump in yesterday, so it's all in the theatre. But yeah, it's a very visceral experience. It'll be a play that sucks people right into the guts of it, the vortex, the heart of it. And
some images too. And that's what you mean by filmic. It evokes a lot of feelings, but all these images, hopefully, in the audience's minds. Yeah.
Thank you so much for speaking to me today.
You're welcome. No, thank you very much for interviewing us.
Thanks, Kate. It's been great.